Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So if you're like me, you're looking for really any kind of sense of normalcy you can find right now. You know, this is typically the time we'd be enjoying a Georgia spring practice, something along those lines. We just don't have that right now. And, you know, we've got a kind of frozen scenario when it comes to the recruiting process there as well. There's just not a lot that you look at every single day that feels like the football news that we're accustomed to this time of year. However, that doesn't mean it's completely gone, nor does it mean it's completely absent. You just have to look a little harder to find it. Let me begin with an example of that today, something that went down at the end of last week. Deon Colsey, a four-star wide receiver from Athens, decommitted from Notre Dame. It's one of the top players of the 2021 class. It's like a top 50 player in the country, one of the top players in the state of Georgia. And when you look at the social media response to Colsey's announcement here, I think it becomes a little bit easy to get excited about this from a Georgia standpoint. Now, listen, I'm not going to pretend to tell you I know where Colsey's going. I don't, but I will say it reminds me a little bit of the way things played out not too long ago with someone who shares the same hometown of Colsey. I'm talking about Brock Vandegrift, who was an Oklahoma commit, decommitted, decided closer to home made more sense to him, and he eventually became a UGA pledge. When Colsey made his announcement and started sharing some other ideas about, you know, basically being back on the market again, certainly Vandegrift was one of the guys that initially noticed that. Now, it's worth pointing out that Brock Vandegrift and Deon Colsey do live in the same town, but don't go to the same high school. Vandegrift's at Prince Avenue Christian. Deon Colsey's at Athens Academy. But no doubt it seems like that Vandegrift wants to be a factor in Colsey's recruitment going forward. It should also be pointed out as well that when Deon Colsey initially shared his announcement that he was decommitting from Notre Dame on Twitter, one of the guys that he tagged in that was our buddy Terrence Edwards, the former great Georgia receiver, record-setting Georgia receiver, who also happens to be a personal wide receiver coach and someone who's apparently been doing some work with Colsey there in that regard. So if you're a Georgia fan, you feel pretty good about this, I guess, and this doesn't come by way of prediction of where I think it is that Colsey's going to go. I'm just glad to be talking about some of the same kind of subject matter we would typically address in a show like this. Big time decommitment, Georgia trying to be involved, even in kind of the odd scenario where visits and things like that aren't taking place right now. It's kind of nice to know that at least in one respect, it's business as usual. And by the way, it's also kind of nice to know, and we've seen already a lot of examples of this from the 2021 class. I'm not anti-national recruiting, and obviously I want to see Georgia get the very best recruits it can get, regardless of the state they come from. But as I mentioned before with Brock Vandegrift and what looks to be a little bit of a growing storyline here with Deon Colsey, it is really fun to think about the ways in which Georgia's just seemingly going to be more involved with in-state products than it was with the 2020 cycle. And listen, you know, ultimately, as I said before, it's about getting the very best players you can get. But there is something about a Georgia fan getting a chance to cheer on Georgians wearing that UGA uniform. The 2021 class may provide a little bit more of that. So that in itself, I think, is a really fun thing. So let's watch this story. No doubt Jeff Sintel will have plenty on this for you at DogNation.com. There'll be no shortage of chatter on this. The forum at forum.dognation.com. All the way around, it should be a really fun thing. By the way, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, I want to shift gears now and kind of talk about something different. And I guess I have a little bit of a crackpot theory. Now, later on, when our buddy John Stinchcomb joins us as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, I will run this crackpot theory by him then, but let me address it with you right now. So I'm a believer that, as I mentioned, we are in kind of an odd time at the moment. Recruiting is just going to be made very difficult by the coronavirus. And there are larger concerns ultimately than college football when it comes to this pandemic that our country is dealing with, our world is dealing with. I get all of that. And yet I think you also get that this is ultimately a college football show, and we are primarily going to discuss college football. And when it comes to how the pandemic impacts recruiting, here's what I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see good recruiters made better through all of this, and I think you're going to see not-so-good recruiters face more challenges, because ultimately the name of the game in recruiting is relationships. It's not cool social media edits. It's not hype campaigns like so-and-so is wide receiver U or defensive back university or whatever else. It's relationships. Can you establish relationships with players? Can you establish relationships with those players' parents? Do you forge the kind of atmosphere that makes a parent want to trust you with their son for the next 3 to 4 years? Ultimately, that's what works in recruiting more so than anything else. It is a relationships business, and relationships require authenticity. It requires an ability to be genuine, to kind of act like you're a human being living in the real world and not someone who is too walled off to know how other people are feeling and what other people are going through. From that standpoint, I think that we're going to see a guy like Matt Luke, the Georgia offensive line coach, do really well during this time. And I bring this up because Luke put a video out on Twitter as of late, and I think we'll probably end up highlighting a lot of what these Georgia coaches are saying here over the course of the next couple of weeks, just to kind of find out how they are, you know, kind of spending their time and what they're going through. But Luke, who in the video, and I'll put a link to the tweet when I post the show later on today at theworldfamousdognation.com, but Luke just kind of, I don't know, he just comes across as like a real dude during this. He's got his two boys with him, he's got his wife with him, and he spent some time talking about how all of them are dealing with the coronavirus concerns. Here's what Luke had to say recently on Twitter.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Luke. I'm at home with the family. We've been trying to take advantage of this time because we've had to social distance ourselves, but really want to take advantage of the time with our family and been trying to do some stuff together to try to pass the time. Coop, what have we been doing?
I've been riding my bike.
Been riding bikes. Harrison?
I've been practicing baseball.
Yeah, a little basketball. Ashley?
Cooking and cleaning and board games and beating Matt in ping pong. Not really.
The score was really 21-3, but who's really counting? But we've been spending a lot of time here together, watching some movies, and you know, taking advantage of this time. It's been tough, kind of unprecedented for everybody, but really been spending a lot of time together as a family. But I hope everybody's doing well and staying safe. Just wanted to say, wash your hands, hunker down, and go Dogs.
Once again, that's the Georgia offensive line coach, Matt Luke. And as you might imagine, I'm not a big reader of celebrity gossip magazines, but I am familiar with Us Magazine and the feature that I know they used to do. I don't know if it still does it or not, nor do I even know if Us Magazine even still exists. But at one point in time, Us Magazine was famous for the feature within the magazine called Stars. They're Just Like Us. And I guess in this particular case, it could be college football coaches. They're just like us, because here you got, you know, Luke with his kids. They're trying to ride the bike, trying to do a little sports practice. And I've been doing that with my kids as well, pitching some baseballs and shooting some baskets and things like that, whatever you can do to pass the time. Mom and daddy playing a little ping pong against each other. A lot of folks kind of understand that as well. I think it's kind of cool to see the competitive spirit from Luke come out, that he can't even let his wife take credit for winning a game fictitiously during an interview on Twitter, or a video comment on Twitter. I think that's really fun and sort of easy to understand. And it kind of all just sort of paints the picture of what I was saying before. Luke, in a situation like this, just kind of comes across as a genuine guy, an authentic guy. He is someone who lives in the real world, and some coaches are just easier at making that look true than others. And as a Georgia fan, you may be the last one to ever notice that, because the guys that Smart hires, for the most part, the guys that he brings in his employ, are for the most part all just sort of regular dudes, or at least they give off the kind of regular guy type vibe, which I think really works in recruiting. But not every college coach comes across that way. Not every college coach comes across as if he lives in the same world the rest of us occupy. But you better believe, in a time in which people are hurting, and there's going to be two different ways we see people hurting in the near future. You know, some people are going to be worried about their own health. Some people are going to get sick, or some people are going to have a family member that gets sick. Other people are going to have a business that's just decimated by the economic travails that have taken place in the aftermath of all of this. And as a recruiter, when you come in contact with football players, you're going to encounter some people who've dealt with this from a health standpoint, some people whose families have dealt with this from a business standpoint. You better be able to live comfortably in your own skin and understand that other people are going through stuff like this. And from that standpoint, I think that Luke's probably going to be pretty good at that. I mean, as I said before, it may be a crackpot theory, but it is my theory. Good recruiters are going to be better in the process of dealing with this very weird situation. And, you know, kind of oddball, weird recruiters, guys that don't forge those relationships quite as authentically, I think a weird challenge of the coronavirus is going to make things even more difficult for them. One thing's for sure, as Luke said, it is unprecedented times. It is a very, very strange time to be alive, but it is nice to see one of the Georgia coaches seemingly making the best of the situation by taking some time to get closer to his family. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, with a daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and we're presented today by Pella Window and Door, and it's great to have you with us. It's a different kind of video show, but we're still there for you. Not on Twitter right now, admittedly, but on Facebook and YouTube every morning at 10 a.m., and so if you want to interact with me, if you're normally a podcast listener, but you got some time to do some other stuff, interact with me on Facebook or YouTube. I'd love to chat with you. We're doing that every single morning, and it's been really fun thus far. Also, it's great to still be on our radio home in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. I really appreciate that. And they've been such great partners of ours, and I love being able to provide some entertainment for you, for those of you who are driving around the Athens area right now. Thanks so much for that. Of course, podcast-wise, however you get the podcast, Apple, the Google Player, Spotify, we're there now. However you get to us, we're just glad to have you with us today. And, of course, we appreciate Pella Window and Door making it all possible. You know, they can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors, and that could save you money in your energy bills. It could add to the curb appeal of your home, which in turn increases the sales value or resale value of your home. A lot of great things can happen for you from a financial standpoint when you interact with Pella Window and Door. And speaking of financial benefits, they've even got another great one for you right now, but this great offer. You can replace every window in your house currently right now for as low as $78 a month, or you can get 40% off qualifying installations through April the 23rd. Of course, Pella offers the best lifetime warranty, top of the line equipment, and unparalleled expertise. They're also really easy to get in touch with a couple different ways. You can give them a call in the Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979. Or you can reach out to them online at PellaBranch.com. That is PellaBranch.com. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. All right, we have a busy show for you coming up. As I mentioned before, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to say hello to John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog. We get into some conversation with John today that we typically might not have much of a chance to be able to do. We talked to him about his time playing with Drew Brees for the New Orleans Saints, what it was like to be a part of, along with a couple of other pretty famous siblings at Georgia, Boss Bailey and Terrence Edwards. What was it like to kind of have a last name that the average Georgia fan knew a lot about? What was it like to kind of live into that world? He and Terrence Edwards, Boss Bailey, kind of all dealt with that. I think that's pretty interesting stuff, as well as the stuff on Brees as well. He tells a great story about Drew Brees and his commitment to excellence and what John learned from that. John's always a really good guy to talk about in situations, really anytime, but he's just got good insight into life, and he'll share some of that with us coming up here today as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Updater with John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a moment. Also, something I'm going to get into greater detail on later on in our show. I shared with you last week some of the Fox Bet point spreads for upcoming college football games, a lot of SEC games. We've got another flurry of those out here today. I believe it comes from Bet Online. You can get the full length and read all of the early picks for the games of the year there at dognation.com. I will tell you this now about, I guess, the one thing on this that sort of jumps out and is a little bit more interesting. You know, last week when I gave you the Fox Bet number, Georgia, a 4.5-point underdog at Alabama. Bet Online sees it as a more substantial number favoring the Crimson Tide. They've got Georgia as a 7-point underdog right now. So if you're already starting to think about the early stage of the 2020 season, what Georgia has a chance to do, what Georgia has an opportunity to prove when it goes to Tuscaloosa, the betting public here kind of setting you up for just what a significant challenge that's going to be, a 7-point underdog when Georgia goes to Alabama, according to Bet Online. A couple other Georgia numbers to give you. Georgia also a 4-point favorite hosting Auburn. That's in the month of October this time around. And Georgia still a 2-point favorite against Florida. That's the same number as the Bet Online deal before. So ultimately, my takeaway on how the betting public views Georgia right now hasn't changed too much from what I said to you a week ago, that you're going to circle the Georgia-Florida game. The national media is obviously going to tout that as a chance for the Gators to prove themselves. Georgia fans have this insatiable hunger right now to get over the hump against Alabama. We all understand that. But please make sure you pay attention to Georgia-Auburn for the first time in October when those two teams get together this season in Athens. The betting public is still telling you that don't gloss over the absence of Derrick Brown and don't gloss over the absence of Marlon Davidson and don't maybe take too much comfort in the fact that Georgia has won so many in this series in recent years. apparently the betting public still thinks of Auburn as a pretty dangerous team, so that's probably worth noting. When you're circling games that truly matter for Georgia this season, obviously it's Alabama that you circle. Obviously, it's Florida that you circle, both those games with a good reason. The betting public here, though, is telling you to circle the Auburn game as well, and that's probably a pretty good piece of advice. We'll talk more about the early look ahead to some of these top SEC games later on, but for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, let's talk to a former Georgia great. Let's talk to a guy that's got terrific insight in what's happening in the world right now and what Georgia's going to look like once it gets back on the field again very soon. It's John Stinchcomb here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always nice here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, to be able to have a chance to talk with John Stinchcomb as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. And of course, Marlowe's working really hard right now for to-go orders and for people who want to stop by and do that. Don't forget, they got a great deal as well on gift cards right now, adding value to those gift cards. You can check out a whole lot more information about that at MarlowesTavern.com. John, it's certainly a weird time, and probably I think for two of us who love the spring, love spring football, and love everything that kind of goes along this time of year, probably not a time that we're, I think, enjoying, but we're doing our part to get through it right now, are we not?
I think that's all our charge, is to do your part, and it's not enjoyable. I mean, this is the time of year where everybody has something going on, spring baseball and, you know, sports and being outside and communing. And for now, that's not what we're called to do. And so we'll adjust accordingly. We're resilient groups, and we will rebound from it.
Are you like me, though, in this respect, that, and I think for a lot of the guys and gals who are listening right now who have families, they probably get a degree of this, of, as frustrated as I am about no Braves baseball and no Masters and no G-Day and things like that, and that's just really irritating. And as concerned as I am for some of my friends in the business community who fall on really hard, you know, times through all of this, and as worried as I am for some people who I hope don't get sick, concurrent to all of that, you know, I got young kids, you've got young kids. There is something to be said of, if we can pull out of this and one day view this from the rearview mirror, you know, forced to slow down, forced to spend some time indoors with our kids or in our neighborhood with our kids in the cul-de-sac or whatever else. You know, there are some happy memories being collected here. Now, not at the expense of what it ultimately cost us. I certainly get that. But in addition to all of the frustration, irritation, and just legitimate concern, I mean, when you're a, you know, dad lucky enough to be home with your kids, you know, there is some part of this that has been enjoyable, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of the recovery from Katrina in New Orleans and the surrounding area, that you rallied around one another. And, you know, there's some small businesses and folks that are truly concerned about that next paycheck and paying bills and making sure that they have a roof over their family's head. And at times like that, sports seem to take a little bit of a seat on the back burner, and rightfully so. But I also remember, as we came back out in that recovery post-Katrina in New Orleans, the bond that was created and the outlet that was provided through sports was one that was so very much needed for that community and those people. And the bond was just welded so much stronger because of the resiliency of that community. And I think that's what hopefully we will see is folks that, you know, are experiencing some tough times, but on the other side of it, there's a joy that can be offered in sports that will be much needed for folks as they've dealt with some very real hard stuff during a crisis like this.
So to make this about football for a minute, I have a little bit of a theory. It's probably a crackpot theory, but I want to run it past you. I believe that during all of this, assuming that we all get back to normal again and are recruiting and playing football and things like that, you know, at a certain point, I think the good recruiters are going to be made better in a time like this, and I think the bad recruiters are going to be made worse, because I think it's a real challenge for everybody in one way or another, and I think that tests our humanity. And so the coaches, the recruiters who are comfortable in their own skin are going to thrive in this, because they just sort of know how to talk to people and know how to relate to people about whatever their real world scenario might be, whether you're on the end of worrying about getting sick or on the end of worrying about losing a business. You know, I think the good recruiters naturally understand that. There was a video of Georgia published of Matt Luke at home with his family. And, you know, he's just sort of talking like a regular guy because he is a regular guy. You've got the kids around and talking about playing board games and ping pong and all these different things. And first of all, it's just nice to get a glimpse of a Georgia coach like that during some downtime. And I just thought, you know, for someone like that who's genuine, he's going to thrive once it's time to start talking to players again and once it's time to start, you know, bringing in, you know, recruits again. Because I think that just guys who are comfortable in their own skin, I think, just have a better understanding of what's going on in the world. That's my theory anyway. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think people skills is one of those intangibles that you can try to work on and try to improve, but when they come naturally, it makes such a big difference. I mean, some people are just really, they have that innate skill of connecting. And that's, when you look at recruiters, great recruiters, that's probably a box that every single one of them is, they check. And it comes in so natural to people like Coach Pittman, who left, and you bring in Coach Luke, and you see the similar vein. They don't try to emulate anybody because it comes so natural to them. They have to be their own man and do so very well. And I think that's where they succeed and ascend higher than some of the others, is just because it's a natural gift that translates so well in recruiting, because it's about people. It's about connecting.
Marlowe's Tavern reminds you that social distancing can be delicious, too. Of course, we do our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with John Sinchcomb every Monday here on our program. And, of course, Marlowe's has a dedicated team that takes care of the to-go business. That means that if you're not feeling comfortable going inside a restaurant right now, which is, I think, totally understandable given what's going on in the world, you can still pick up some of your favorite Marlowe's food to enjoy in the comfort of your home. It's a great alternative to support Marlowe's Tavern and also enjoy some delicious food at home, because at a certain point in time, you've eaten all the leftovers in the refrigerator. You can your car when you arrive there at the tavern in your neighborhood if you prefer. That's how well they're looking to take care of you during this very unusual time. Of course, we appreciate Marlowe's Tavern, and I can't wait to be back on a patio at Marlowe's Tavern again very, very soon. John, just given the weirdness of the moment, I think it gives us a chance to talk about a couple of things that in a busier time, we wouldn't always have time to even discuss. And so there are a couple of those things I want to try to hit with you here for a moment. And I want to, I guess, talk about that Sinchcomb name that you had when you were at Georgia, because in some respect, that's a fun thing because your brother Matt had played at Georgia. And when you arrived, that makes you kind of a ready because Matt had a good career, but it also makes you feel with extra pressure to kind of live up to there as well. And, you know, kind of always dealing with those comparisons. What was it like for you being a sibling at Georgia, being someone who had a brother who was really good, and you also did a good job carrying on that Sinchcomb name as well, and probably dealt with some of the pressure associated with that? What was that like for you?
Well, I think it brings pressure. It also brings opportunity. There's expectation, and there's a standard that's set, and I wasn't alone. I mean, it was pretty unique, but in our recruiting class was Terrence Edwards and Boss Bailey. So you had Robert Edwards and Champ and Matt that had tilled the field, if you will, for us to arrive. And we kind of took that mantle as an opportunity to do something even greater in continuing building on what was established. And for some guys, they come in and the slate is clean and they can be their own person. And we had that opportunity too. Don't get me wrong. None of us were trying to walk in the shoes of our older sibling. It was just a standard that we enjoyed that we could live up to and try to surpass, and that we're proud of our family member and what they were able to accomplish, but could see that as a little bit of a challenge of how can I build and replicate some of the success and steps that they took to find that success, and then be your own person and create and generate on your name, build that name into something that's a little more special.
Did you and Terrence and Boss ever talk about that? I'm sure reporters forced the topic on you from time to time, but like casually, privately, was that something you all ever discussed?
I think it was brought up multiple times just because of it was so unique, and mainly it was for the media, but we did talk about it from, I guess, occasionally. It was rare, but it was a rare situation. And, you know, during that recruiting process, we were, I know it's 2+ decades ago, but we would talk to each other on those recruiting trips and try to recognize that we wanted to be special and try to bring others along with us. And with that legacy aspect of it, we were very much aware and wanted to, you're coming off the golf era into the Donnan era at the time. And, you know, we wanted to do something special there. And, you know, with Coach Rick coming in on our, golly, it's probably our third season there, still trying to build and leave a name that meant something once we left the halls of the University of Georgia.
And, of course, for a fan like me, in retrospect, this all seems to make a lot of sense. You know, Robert Edwards is a great running back. Terrence Edwards became a great receiver. Your brother's a great offensive lineman. You became a great offensive lineman. Champ Bailey was a great defensive name. Ross Bailey in his own right became a very good, you know, defensive name. But actually having the sibling perform as well as he did in all of those cases, especially, you know, in his case, maybe from a player profile standpoint, the most different guys like, live up to the name as well as the three of you did. Like, that's probably it seems a lot easier in retrospect than it probably was achieving in real life, I'm imagining.
Well, I think we've got to give a lot of credit where it's due, and that was God-given talent for the six of us that, yeah. You know, not everyone had that same opportunity that we were able to enjoy, and that you know, we were blessed with some given ability and some drive that was able to maximize on the talent that we were blessed with. So especially for Terrence and Boss, you're looking at two guys that played different positions, but you just talk about some God-given ability. I mean, they walk into the door and you know there's something special about them just because, man, they move so well. And I distinctly remember this, Brent. It's one of my favorite stories of, you know, this time of the year. We're getting ready for the pro day at Georgia, and Boss is hitting, you know, mid-40s on his vertical leap, and he would have two guys stand on either side of him because he was getting so high that he felt off balance when he was landing. I didn't have that same problem. I mean, I felt really good about my vertical, you know, 35 inches. I'm like, all right, I'm moving 300 pounds, almost 3 feet up in the air. But then you watch Boss jump, and it's very humbling. So it was good.
Well, we all saw that with our own eyes, the block field goal against Tennessee in 2002. You were lucky to play with some really good athletes. And I don't know how well you remember that the way that maybe the average fan does. There's a beautiful picture of it inside the press box at Sanford Stadium. Is that maybe for you I'm trying to think of the right phrase here, in terms of wow moment of just athleticism being put on display? I mean, in your career, watching that from people around you in a Georgia uniform, it's sort of hard to top that from just a wow factor of, I can't believe a human being just did that, right?
Oh, it's that's Anthony Munoz's son, who's got his hand raised above his head and is on the belt line of Boss, and he's like 6'6", 6'7", so obviously he's bending down some because of the nature of the field goal protection, but just the insane leaping ability of Boss. That's one of my favorite pictures of any Georgia moment, just because it's so insane that he can get that high. It's
yeah.
So impressive.
Let me squeeze in one more thing before we let you go. And this is another topic that I don't know that we'll ever get a chance to speak about, this just because in a typical football season, there's so many other things to cover. We've talked about the fact that you won a Super Bowl before and things like that. But I think the more time passes, I think one of the things that you're going to be able to address is that you got a chance to play with a guy like Drew Brees, who's going to be on the list of, you know, great quarterbacks of the modern era. And I'm sure that when you're, you know, wearing the same uniform and blocking for him, he becomes
a teammate like any other, but just given the significance that Breeze does have and will have for this modern day NFL, what was significant for you about playing with him? What did you learn from him? And I guess when you think about your own memories of that time, you know, what do you take away?
Well, he's a great man. He's a good friend, still is. And so that's how you know him. And it's really, you get away from the game and you recognize how truly unique he is. Now, when you're with him, you see it just because I tell this story often when I go to speaking engagements and that thing, that type of event. It's you can't outwork him. I mean, literally, you can't outwork him. So 8 o'clock in the morning is when our meetings usually start. If you're injured, you're up there an hour and a half early. So it's 6:30. And I can guarantee your car won't be the first in the player's parking lot because Drew's already there. And on Thursday nights, we as an offensive line, we used to go out to dinner. And many times Drew would be late to those dinners, and it was because he's still up at the facility working with the coaches on the game plan and breaking things down. And we had an opportunity to finish our film review, go home, change clothes, sit on the couch for a minute, make it out to dinner, and he's still up there grinding. And it's that standard that he set, and some of the truly great leaders that I've been around, and he very much falls in that category. They're so selfless in how they serve that they take their game to such an elite level just because, you know, it's a marathon, and they keep that insane sprinter's pace the entire time. And that kind of focus and fortitude is very rare. And it makes guys very distinguished, you know, the go the extra mile. It's not crowded. Well, he took that to the next level because he was still taking notes. It was, you know, fifth training camp under Coach Payton, and you're doing day one install of the most basic dive run play, and Drew's got a page and a half of notes. What does he need to take notes on? Hand the ball to Reggie and let's go. There's more stuff that he probably could have spent time on, but it's his amazing ability to keep that ultra high focus and commitment to others, that accountability and selflessness that really distinguished him as a teammate to me.
Speaking of your coach, Sean Payton, he did announce that he's dealing with the coronavirus right now. Have you had any interaction with him since that announcement was made?
I sent him a text, but he seems to be doing well, especially considering how others it has affected them, and I'm grateful for it. But just goes to show, I mean, we're all very touchable. I remember that experience and that sentiment when we were discussing the Kobe Bryant tragedy.
Yeah.
We are all equally vulnerable to these kind of occurrences, and it's I think it's a great reminder that we have to do our part to stay safe and stay vigilant.
John, I really appreciate your time, and of course, certainly help us get through what is not the easiest time in the world here, but a time that we're all looking forward to putting the rearview mirror as soon as possible. As part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider update, I'll also remind you that if you're interested in the Marlowe's gift card right now, that Marlowe's going to extend an additional 20% to each gift card you will purchase. That's through April the 15th, so you can get one for yourself or just for someone that you want to be nice to during this time, especially if it's a, you know, first responder, someone working very hard during this time of year. That's a great way to show some love to them. If you want more information about this, you can use this website. It's actually an email address, info@marlowestavern.com. That's info@marlowestavern.com. And, John, we appreciate you being here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Updater, and we'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you in some form or fashion next week as well.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, especially when I get a break from being the digital learning dad that I've become. So thank you for the getaway, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Fruit.
Always really, really nice to be able to have a conversation like that with John Stinchcomb. Love his insight. And in a roundabout way, it's kind of nice to be able to talk to him about some things that we wouldn't normally get a chance to talk about. I mean, think about how cool it is to say that you blocked for a guy like Drew Brees. You know, David Boss Andrews can say the same thing about his time working with Tom Brady. You know, obviously, if you're a player like that, you think of them as a teammate, I'm sure. But the longer time passes, the more you'll realize that a lot of guys have played in the NFL, but not everyone has gotten a chance to play with such an all-time great. So good to really get a chance to talk to John Stinchcomb about that. By the way, speaking of good stuff, this is something that Kroger's doing right now, which I think is really commendable, and I want to make sure we highlight this. Kroger's going to be altering its schedules at some of its stores to create special shopping hours for customers at risk of contracting the coronavirus, the disease that we're all obviously so very, very well aware of now. So stores in Georgia, Eastern Alabama, and South Carolina are going to block off time from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Thursday. So from 7 to 8 a.m. Monday through Thursday, if you're a senior over the age of 60 or if you're at a high risk for the coronavirus, according to how the CDC defines that, you can get in and start shopping an hour early there at Kroger. So I think that's an incredibly generous gesture on the part of Kroger, and I wanted to make sure that we do our part to make everybody available, or should say everybody aware of that. Let me also do our SEC through here for a moment, and I want to pick up the conversation that I was starting to talk about a little earlier, the bet online numbers, the point spreads. I gave you the Georgia ones earlier if you're either just joining us on the radio or maybe you were zoned out earlier in the podcast. So Georgia's a 7-point underdog at Alabama. Georgia's a 4-point favorite versus Auburn, and then the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville. Georgia's still a 2-point favorite there. How about some of the other SEC point spreads? Bama goes to LSU this year after having its long winning streak against the Tigers snapped last season in Tuscaloosa. Right now, though, the odds do favor Alabama. LSU a 2.5-point underdog at home in that game. And ultimately, one of the most pivotal figures in the SEC this season is going to end up being Miles Brennan. That's going to be one of the real names to know. And if you could tell me how Brennan performs this year, then I think it makes a lot of other predictions easier to make. Is Alabama going to regain its top status in the SEC West? How good is Texas A&M going to be? How much of a challenge does Florida have when it plays LSU? A lot of those really big, pivotal questions for this season, a lot of that rests on Miles Brennan. Now, I've told you, I'm of the belief that Brennan's no Joe Burrow. And the LSU passing game takes a step back this season in the absence of Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, who became Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator during the offseason. Given all of that, I'm not high on LSU here. I think that you can see an example of maybe the betting public, the folks at Bet Online here, also not being all that high on the Tigers either. I'll put a link to the point spreads themselves. You can kind of follow along with this yourself when I post the show later on at the worldfamousdognation.com. By the way, speaking of LSU, going to Florida this year, Gators a 2.5-point favorite there. That's one of the few games, along with Georgia, that Florida's expected to be challenged in at all. This is one of those years that, from a storyline standpoint, one of the significant storylines is the ease on paper, anyway, of Florida's schedule. So if you're looking to see Florida drop a game, Georgia and LSU, at least on paper, that's about the only place you see that as a real possibility. One of the real swing games in the SEC this season, it's probably Texas A&M and Auburn. Right now, Auburn's a 3-point favorite there in that game. I've made my case before of I'm not going to pick A&M to win the SEC West. I don't think they're good enough to topple Alabama. I don't. But do I think that Jimbo Fisher is a top-flight coach? I do. I'm a Fisher believer. I think the money that A&M spent on him will eventually be viewed as money well spent. And I think that he faced a very tough challenge when he took over there in College Station. This was not a physical football team. You know, Kevin Sumlin's not a physical football coach. That was his predecessor. A&M kind of came out of the Big 12, and it takes a while of not being in the Big 12 to get that Big 12 stench off of you. This is not a physical league. This is a league that sort of favors kind of a more finesse brand of football. But you can't win in the SEC if you have too much of that and not enough physicality. I think that Jimbo Fisher has slowly been trying to institute some of that physicality into his program, and I think the last couple of years of work in that regard may pay off and show up a bit here this year. A couple other numbers worth giving you here. LSU-Auburn is a pick'em game right now. you know, how good is Auburn without Derrick Brown? How good is Auburn without Marlon Davidson? I still think dangerous, but that's one of those other swing games there as well. LSU and Auburn to kind of determine what the pecking order of the SEC West ends up looking like. I've made my case before that if you want to get some action down in one of these early season games, obviously the caveat here is it must be played for you to cash your ticket. I do like Texas going into LSU this year. This may be a year in which Texas is worth an extra look. I expect Oklahoma to be down. Texas may be a chance to benefit from that in the Big 12. And going into Death Valley, I would say that Texas may be worth a little bit of a look there. Another big high-profile non-conference SEC game worth paying attention to is Tennessee going to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is about an 8.5-point favorite there right now. I talked about this on Friday's show. You know, I'm skeptical of Oklahoma. The absence of the high-profile transfer quarterback for the first time in a while, Oklahoma's going to have to turn its attention to a homegrown name at that spot. It's expected to be Spencer Rattler. A lot of close wins for Oklahoma a year ago, hard to replicate that year over year. Tennessee, a team that I think showed some legitimate real improvement over the course of last season, not just in terms of the winning streak that put together near the end of the year, but the fact that it covered the point spread against Alabama, was close to being able to do that against Georgia. This was a team that kind of had a chance to make a name for itself. And I think when you look at the possibility of what could happen this upcoming season, playing well in that spot, potentially pulling that upset, or at least coming close to doing that, Norman, I don't think that'd be all that surprising to necessarily see that. That's one of those games I would say that we'll all have circled on that non-conference slate. And boy, can't wait to be talking about football again. We'll make that your SEC through. So as we close out here, as I'm recording this podcast, this will be new, not so much new news to many of you, but Georgia has picked up a commitment for the class of 2021. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, but getting Jonathan Jefferson, a four-star defensive end from Douglas County, Georgia. So Georgia adding a member to its 2021 class here with Jonathan Jefferson. Jeff Sintel's got a story up on that at dognation.com. By the way, Gator Hater Updater continues to climb. Georgia beating those lousy, stinking Gators. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.